You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. with Gareth Topham, Sean Quinn and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Hamilton and Brighton on Tuesday afternoon, Chepstow and Stratford in the evening. We've also got racing over the Irish Sea from Goran Park on Tuesday night as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. Right, we're going to start with a Monday jury, as we usually do on this early week edition of the podcast, and then we're going to move on to Tuesday's action. So getting straight into it, Mick, how do you rate the ARCA credentials of Jack Hobbs after his Curra romp? I'm just going to tweak the question a little bit as well and throw in Trev, because she won in Song Clue on Sunday, and she heads the betting for the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. She's 5-2 now at the top of the market, being trimmed in a little bit over the weekend. Golden Horn 5s, Jack Hobbs 8s with New Bay, 10-1 for Snow Sky and 12s or bigger for the others.
I think we'd better really wait until we see how the Derby generation fare against their elders, which we'll get a clue, won't we, in the eclipse, upcoming eclipse, when Golden Horn takes on the likes of the Grey Gatsby, etc. Pity that the French horse isn't coming, but the Grey Gatsby will make sure he's put to the test, and then we'll get some idea of how good the three-year-old generation are. But the mighty Trev just keeps doing it. You could see in the race on Sunday that Jeanne was desperate to give her as easy time as possible on ground, quicker than she would find ideal. So he didn't want to take the risk of her jarring up or anything like that. And to do that and still get the better of proven Group 1 performers, well, she's out the highest class, and I don't think we can even mention them in the same breath until the generation clash has been well and truly tested. Plenty to like about Jack Hobbs. Don't for a second think I'm trying to knock his Derby performance, and what I'm delighted about is how it's given a boost to the Dante and the Derby form. Golden Horn looking more and more like the real thing, isn't he? And if you said Golden Horn for the Arc, my ears would prick up then. But whether Jack Hobbs, if he carries on making the progress he's making, he could well be the best of the three-year-olds to go and take the mighty Trev on, and there are others, of course, but let's wait till after the eclipse, Mark. We might know a bit more this time next week.
Yeah, it's a fair point, because Golden Horn 5-1 in the market there. If he wins the eclipse and wins it impressively at the weekend, he's probably not going to be 5-1 anymore. So
yeah,
worth noting. We'll actually move on to the eclipse. It's the last question in the Monday jury, but we'll move on to it anyway because we're talking about it. So who will win the... Well, we can't talk about that because the French Derby winner's not going to run. But what do you make of Golden Horn in the eclipse?
Well, he just does everything right, doesn't he? I mean, as we touched on, I do think the Grey Gatsby will make sure he has to work hard for it. I don't think he's going to be able to toy with the opposition in the eclipse, more or less like he did at Epsom, if you like. And but I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it? When the classic generation meet the tough older brigade, and they don't come any tougher or classier than the Grey Gatsby, do they? Very unlucky in the Prince of Wales at Royal Ascot. And this could be a really good chance for him to make amends. Could be a smallish field and a tactical race, and, well, I don't know. I just don't know who that would suit, really. Probably Golden Horn. No,
he handled the small field in the Dante, didn't he?
So. He did, yeah. But it's going to be a real eye-opener either way. Hmm. And yeah, may the best man win.
Golden Horn 2-5 at the top of the betting for the Eclipse. The Grey Gatsby 4-1, 8s for Cougar Mountain, Western Him 11s and 66s for Tullius. That's a 5 going to post there.
I know,
as it stands.
That's the sad part about it, isn't it? It's not even got an each way shape to it, has it?
But, no.
But the Grey Gatsby, I don't know what sort of price will be on the pro market to place 1-2, but there you are. Help yourself.
Well, it's quite the odds 1-2. You could get your money back if you finish a second. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Moving on to the next question then, did we see the next St Ledger winner in the Irish Derby?
If we did, I think it would probably be more likely to be Jack Hobbs, who does look a galloper, doesn't he? I know he's quicking up really nicely. And I mean, there's no way that Stone, the Stars, would beat him over another 2 furlongs the way he quickened away from him in the Curragh. So I suppose if he didn't turn up for it, if they had other plans for Jack Hobbs, Storm the Stars could be the interesting one. I think he's coming to the Voltigeur, isn't he? See the Storm, Storm the Stars, I should say. And that's always a good guide to the final classic. So, and I'm pleased to see the Derby form holding up with Giovanni Canaletti et al. All franking the Derby form. And again, giving the Dante a very, very solid form look to it. So, yeah, whichever of those turn up for the Ledger, I think what we've seen already will be the guide to the race.
Mm-hmm. Storm the Stars 4-1 for the Ledger at the moment, by the way. Aloft 10's Balios is...
Is Jacobs quoted or not?
Not quoted.
No.
If the plan is to run him in the arc, they won't run him in the Ledger, will they? Because Ledger runners have a terrible record going to the arc afterwards, don't they?
Yeah. Absolutely. It'd be one or the other, won't it?
Yeah. For him. Where do you rank weekend winners Painted Cliffs and Katie's Diamond in the juvenile pile?
Somewhere below the Royal Ascot 2-year-old winners. I think there was you know, obviously good performances on their own merit, but I think we saw an exceptional bunch of 2-year-olds win at Ascot. I think they set the standard without decrying the performances of the Curragh winners. I thought Royal Ascot's 2-year-olds were exceptional.
Okay. How taken were you with Northumberland Plate winner Quest for More?
Just keeps doing it, doesn't he? Once again, though, the man in the saddle had a big part to play in it. But he just keeps improving. I think he's surprising even his trainer, Roger Charlton, the way he's finding this improvement from somewhere. And it takes a group horse to win the Northumberland Plate, and it always has done. And I think we'll probably see him maybe try his luck in something like the Doncaster Cup or the Jockey Club Cup later on in the year, and he'll perform with credit wherever he goes. He's a smashing horse, and well done to his trainer. He keeps eking out this bit of improvement because he's easy on them, Roger, and lets them find their own, you know, sort of level a bit at a time, and that's why he keeps eking out this further improvement. But as I say, Baker's the key to him for me.
And the final question then, what other performance would you single out from the last few days?
This one might go under the radar, although it was a good race and a good performance, and you would think, well, you know, it should probably get more credit than it deserved, but it may not. And that was Ayless, who on only his second start for Ed Walker, landed his first group race in the Chip Chase Stakes at Newcastle on Saturday, and he beat some in-form horses quite close. Again, Baker making the performance... sort of understating the performance, if you like. Came from a bit off the pace, going better than them, but didn't sort of make it flashy. And I think it's a poor performance that's going to just get overlooked slightly. And I think he's a horse to certainly keep on the right side of wherever he goes. I don't know what the plan will be with him. Either way, he's worth following. I mean, he was a good horse when... Ed McMahon had him, wasn't he? But he seems to have really taken off since he's gone to Newmarket. And that was a superb performance against them. I mean, don't forget, you know, you've got the likes of Watcher Bullard run a mighty race and they're walking in with his big weight. And, you know, there were some really good horses around him there. And the way he did it as well. I just thought, wow, he's on the up, that horse. And I just thought a performance that will probably get overlooked. Because, you know, a lot of racing on Saturday.
Yeah.
I thought tremendous training performance by Ed Walker. Only a second start for him.
Yeah.
And he ran well on his first start, wasn't he, at Haydock?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was after a while off. So he'd, he's supposed to keep on the right side of wherever he goes.
Yeah. Good day for George Baker, wasn't it, like you mentioned.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Anything else caught your eye, Mick, in the news before I move on?
Not really. Just, I think we should... You know, sort of, if that's the last Northumberland Plate meeting on the grass, I think it's going to be a very sad day for all of us, don't you? I hope something will be done to rectify that. The meeting was a great success, and I just don't see the need for it myself. But And let's hope that their new man at Arc changes their minds for them.
Mm. Yeah, I got the impression from a lot of the interviews with the people at Newcastle weren't too happy with it either on the weekend.
I don't think anybody is except at Arc.
Yeah, they just show the numbers that turn up there as well, and the great track at Newcastle. It's a terrible shame for me.
Well, it's a fantastic track, one of the best you could ever ride round, and it's just a sacrilege. There's no other word for it. Total sacrilege. It's like turning the Vatican into a McDonald's.
Right. Let's move on. Let's look at Tuesday's racing. Mick's got four races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at three of the day's meetings. We're going to look at racing at Hamilton. We're also going to look at Chepstow and Stratford to finish off with. So starting in the 3:15 at Hamilton, this one is a Class 5 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older. Field of 8 here, Mick. Who do you side with?
Yeah, we were talking about the generation gap. And there's a couple of three-year-olds in this, and it's one of them who's going to get the vote, and that's the Asimov filly, More Mischief, was trained by Jed O'Keefe, Graham Lee taking the ride. And I think the step up to a mile and a half will suit the way she was staying on over 10 furlongs behind an enterprisingly ridden Mark Johnson runner at Haydock last time, doing her best work close home, left the others behind. She's open to a fair bit of improvement, I think, at this trip. And she did break a maiden here at Hamilton, which is a little added Brucey bonus, if you like. So, More Mischief's going to get the vote. Northside Prince is interesting. I mean, he hasn't been seen on the flat for 296 days, but that wasn't a bad run over hurdle 17 days ago. His first start after 6 months off. He finished third of four. I know only four, but he wasn't beaten far, and he was still in contention jumping the last. He's not badly handicapped, Northside Prince, but he might be vulnerable to the younger legs of More Mischief. And the other one that will take a chunk out of the market is Latin Rebel from the Jim Goldie Yard. And he got his well-deserved win here last time. But this £3 higher mark has proved beyond him all four times he's tried it in the past. So he might be one to just be wary of, unless he's suddenly made dramatic improvement, which at the age of 80 is unlikely. Yeah, so it all looks rosy for More Mischief.
More Mischief for Mick then in the 3:15. Moving to the 4:15 at Hamilton next. This is a Class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Field of 9 here, Mick. We'll start with Stonefield Flyer, who's shown a liking for Hamilton of late.
Absolutely. And again, we've got 2 3-year-olds in opposition, but I'm going to give the vote to Stonefield Flyer. He was probably anchored by his weight last time. He was trying to carry 10 stone 6. And when you can count the number of horses who win handicaps on the flat with 10 stone, more than 10 stone on one hand, and 10 stone 6 a real stopping weight, and he had the misfortune to run into an improving fahy 3-year-old last time. So with a combination of the weight for age, etc., and and the big weight he had was just too much for him. He's got 10 stone here, but I don't think I think every pound counts double, if you like, over 10 stone. The new mark's kicked in, so he's off 80, but he has won and placed off of this mark and higher in the past, and back at his beloved Hamilton, I think he's going to be very hard to beat. The 3-year-olds I mentioned, Dano, first sign of a return to his 2-year-old form last time at Pontefract, stayed on really well close home with the third well beaten off, and he runs here off the same mark on his first try against his elders. It'd be interesting to see how he gets on. Scott Dixon wants to win this, doesn't he? He's got 3 runners in the race, but I think the best of them for me be Cloak and Degar, ridden by Barry McHugh, who showed his first sign of ability on the turf after showing some fairly smart all-weather form when finishing second at Leicester last time. He's gone up 3 for that, but had been in fair all-weather form, and this likely race turf 3-year-old, it would be no surprise to see him go close, but I'm going to stay with the proven course form of Stonefield Flyer.
Stonefield Flyer then for Mick there. The next race we look at is the 7:40 at Chepstow. This one is a Class 5 handicap over a mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older. 8 here, Mick. I thought this was quite tricky, though.
It is tricky. The shortlist consists in race card order of Living Leader, the top one, Pick a Little, and Lady Bayside. We'll go through them in race card order. Living Leader did far too much too early at Bath last time after missing the break. He was rushed up to lead and not surprisingly paid the price for that. And I don't know what that was all about, but you know, he's gone there off the back of a win. It was went into in good form, was well backed as well. Jenny Powell takes over in the saddle, and she has won on Living Lady. She was in the saddle one of his previous wins this season, and he's either finished first or second in both of his starts at Chepstow, which is encouraging. So I'm going to give the vote to Living Lady to just put that Bath debacle behind him. Pick a little, Michael Blake trains, Richard Kingscote takes the ride. He's consistent and having a good season. Close second at Bath last time. Did win on the Polish track of 73 in 2013, but you know, his turf marks creaking up a little bit for his consistency might leave him a little bit vulnerable. I think the biggest danger to Living Leader is Lady Bayside. Cathy Gannon rides from Malcolm Saunders, and she's back to her last winning mark, and she's got plenty of form here, including a good third over this course last time, with plenty of solid course form to her name. I think she's a danger to them all, and you know, may even be if the dead eight stand the ground, I think she's an each way bet to nothing, Lady Bayside, and the danger to Living Leader.
But Living Leader for you?
Living Leader just gets the vote.
Okay. Final race we'll look at is the 8 o'clock at Stratford. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. 9 of them to go to the start here, Mick, but we'll start with Noble Friend, who's won 3 of his last 4 starts and was a pretty easy winner last time.
Yeah. He's sort of... I know his mark's creeping up, but and he's gone up 7 for that Fontwell win, but he did win by 7 lengths, beating one of Tuesday's rivals, Marie Des Anges. It does take him into unknown territory, but he's definitely looking like a much improved horse since going chasing, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if he defied this new mark here, and I'm looking to him to make it 4 from 7 over fences. So Noble Friend's going to get the vote. We spoke about Marie Des Anges. She's consistent, but she is £6 higher than her last win, although she wasn't beaten far at Worcester on a penultimate start of this mark, so she won't be far away. And the veteran Porter's War, what a race he ran in, ran after 238 days off here last time. He's had a month off to recover. The winner won next time. The third was miles back. The form is rock solid. I think the race revolves around those three, but I think Noble Friend's got a really upwardly mobile profile over fences, and I think he will make it 4 from 7 over the bigger obstacles.
Noble Friend for Mick there. Then let's just have a quick summary as always, Mick, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, 2 at Hamilton Mark in the 3.15, the 3 or more Mischief. In the 4.15, the course specialist Stonefield Flyer at Chepstow in the 7 at 40. It was a tough call between Living Leader and Lady Bayside. You could nearly dutch those two if the price is permitted. And in the Stratford 8 o'clock, the upwardly mobile Noble Friend is going the right way over fences.
Good work. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Okay, Mark, thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2:05 PM. Gareth Topham, Sean Quinn and Gary Capewell will be the team in the studio. It's Hamilton and Brighton on Tuesday afternoon, Chepstow and Stratford in the evening, and we've also got racing over in Ireland from Gorham Park. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.